This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today. Opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, live by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so we will get going right out of the gate today with the outstanding Scott Lauber. Talk about the Phillies. First of all, Scott, welcome back. It is always a pleasure. Yes, no, maybe. Hello. Can anybody hear me? Anybody? Help. Hello. Goodbye. Great to be with you. I don't think Todd can hear me today. So, there you go.
Oh, trying to reach him. I keep saying trying to reach him. It would help if I turned my microphone up. Why can't he hear me?
Todd, I can't hear you, man.
It's just Steve alone in the void.
I mean, just so you know, a prerequisite to any opportunity of broadcasting success is to turn the mic on. It's a prerequisite. I didn't say it's guaranteed success, but at least it's a prerequisite to the possibility of broadcasting success.
Scott is with us, sir.
Scott, always a pleasure. Welcome. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us today.
Of course.
Are the Phillies a great example of a really, really good team that goes through 162 games and has great stretches and has one along the way with injuries and things like that that just isn't that great? Is that just what 162 games actually looks like?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's fair. I think that's probably a healthy way of looking at it. They were playing at 114 win pace at one point, and you can count on one hand the number of teams that have won that many games in a season. We're talking about the 2001 Mariners, we're talking about the 1998 Yankees, and in modern baseball, that's pretty much it. You know, teams that won in the 100 and teens over a season. So yes, I think that on one hand, most teams do go through a lull, a stretch that's not as great over the course of 162 games, which is why, you know, even a 100-win season is not anything to be taken for granted or taken lightly. That said, their lull in the middle of the summer, I think at one point they were 8-18 over a stretch, was really bad. I mean, they were as bad as any team not called the Chicago White Sox for a stretch of time there in the summer. So, you know, I think it was a combination of things. I do think that the just sort of the ebbs and flows of a season lend itself to a period there. But they also didn't play well for about a month long stretch. And you know, I talked to a lot of people during that time, and you know, the question was like, what's wrong with the Phillies? And it's funny because a lot of people on the outside who were people who were with other teams kind of, you know, don't see them every day, said, look, they'll be fine. Their roster is really good from top to bottom. They might be the best team in baseball. They'll be fine. And other people said, like, you know, it's natural for people to wonder what's wrong. But if you're going to go through a stretch like that, let it be in August, because you know you've got plenty of time to figure things out. And that's what they've done. They're 14-4 now in their last 18 games. They're closing in on the division title, which they should, I think, clinch next week, either in Milwaukee or in New York. So I think by this time next week, or certainly by next weekend, we'll be talking about them being division champs and coming through that stretch in August just fine.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with that. As you know, I hold Kyle Schwarber in high regard. I just think there's certain guys. Is it a coincidence the Cubs won when he was there? No. Is it a coincidence the Red Sox got to the American League Championship Series when he was there? No. Is it a coincidence with the Phillies? He's got 14 leadoff home runs. He's got the average now to 250, and he hit 197 last year. You get to see Schwarber on an everyday basis. You get to be around him all the time as a clubhouse presence. What does he mean to a winning team?
A lot. You know, I think you hit on a lot of it. I mean, you hit on a lot of it, what he means from just a sort of an on-field standpoint. He is their leadoff guy, and I think that by now a lot of the debating about whether or not Kyle Schwarber should lead off have kind of been put to rest. I mean, is he a prototype leadoff guy? No. I mean, not in the sense that, like, you and I grew up at a time when leadoff guys stole a lot of bases, and it was usually a fast guy, and it was a guy who could make things happen with his legs. Well, Schwarber does it in a different way. I mean, look at the other night, right, when he hit the 14th leadoff home run, which is a major league single season major league record now. You know, there's no easing into a game for the starting pitcher when the first guy you've got to face is Kyle Schwarber. He fell behind 1-0 in the count, and then tried to flip a pitch up there for a strike, and Schwarber hit it, you know, into the center field seats. So, like, you know, there's no, like, taking a breath or being able to exhale with that first batter, and that's kind of what he... It's like a boxer who comes out and just, like, punches you square in the face and knocks you out right away. That's kind of, like, the impact he has as a leadoff guy. He sees a lot of pitches. He works deep counts. But, you know, for all of the things he does at the plate, the runs he produces, et cetera, I mean, his biggest impact to me is what he does in the clubhouse. And there is a reason why, in good times and in tough ones, reporters like me seek him out, because not only has he been on winning teams and seen a lot of things, but he also kind of has a way of putting things into some perspective, which I think you need every now and then over the course of a long season. And like we were talking about the stretch they went through in August, you know, I think one of the things, they were in Seattle, and I remember talking to him, and he said, you know, if you had told any of us in spring training that, you know, we would have lost Trey Turner for 6 weeks, and Harper would have been on the DL for IL for 10 days, and you know, they would have had some adversity to conquer, and that they would have had the lead that they had at that time in the division at the beginning of August, would you take it? Of course you would take it. And so that's kind of what I mean. Like, you know, he says those things to us, but he certainly says them to his teammates behind closed doors, and has a way of sort of being, I don't know, a voice of reason, or certainly bringing a perspective. And that's why he's the leader of the team. If they had a captain, it would be Kyle Schwarber. And you know, I think that's really as big an influence as he has. It's really what he does off the field.
Bryce Harper hasn't homered in a month. So when you've talked to him, I mean, he's probably sitting there like going, I'm fine, no big deal. But organizationally, a little bit concerned that a bat like that hasn't found the seats?
More concerned, I think, if he wasn't getting hits. You know, he's getting a lot of hits. He's actually hitting the ball really hard. You know, and Todd Zalecki from MLB.com did some really good reporting a couple of weeks ago, and Harper kind of conceded that he's dealing with some wrist soreness. But he was dealing with that, he said, earlier in the year when he was player of the month in May and June back-to-back. I think it was May and June back-to-back that he was player of the month in the National League. But now he's got a little bit of elbow irritation as well. That's not, he says, not related to the Tommy John surgery. It's just a kind of a bump and bruise that you get during the course of the season. And, you know, Harper's been careful to say, look, these are not excuses. I should be hitting for more power. But I do think that they explain some things because, you know, he's hitting the ball. His hard hit rate is the same as it was the first half of the season. Or it's at least consistent with what it was early in the season. His fly ball rate, he's hitting the ball in the air. He's barreling a lot of balls. The difference is they're not going over the wall. And maybe the elbow thing serves to help explain that. Maybe he's not getting the extension on his swing that he would normally get. Whatever the case is, I will say this, that Sunday in Miami, Monday against the Rays, and Tuesday against the Rays, he hit a ball in each of those games that missed going out by inches. And Tuesday night, he was talking after that game about kind of being a little bit baffled by it because he feels like he's hitting the ball hard enough and well enough to go out, and it's just not going out. And I think there'd be more concern for the Phillies if those balls were if he wasn't hitting balls like that. Instead, they're going for doubles, and he's driving in runs and things like that. And I think they think as long as he keeps hitting the ball hard, I mean, it's just a matter of time.
All right, so that brings us to Ranger Suarez. Suarez starts the season, first 16 starts, 1.83. He's been 6.02 since June 30th. Is there some internal concern about where he is? Because when he's been going, when he went well, the Phillies felt like they had a big three.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bigger issue for me, I think, than Harper or really almost anything else. Because like you said, they did. They had a big three for the first 2.5 months of the season. Suarez was arguably their best pitcher during that stretch. It was kind of a separator for them, between them and the rest of the league. The fact that they could throw Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez, and then, oh, by the way, Christopher Sanchez out there 4 out of 5 days and had a chance to win all of those games and won many of them en route to their, you know, 45-20 start or whatever they were. So, yeah, there's no doubt he has not been the same pitcher since the end of June. He went through a month where he didn't pitch because he had some back spasms. They, I think, slow played his return as much as they could because they had the luxury of making sure that they could take some extra time and make sure that that he was healthy and they could manage his innings at the same time. He has come back and, you know, has not looked the same, has not been as sharp. Changeup has not been as sharp. There's been a slight dip in his velocity, though it did tick back up a little bit the other night. I mean, you know, everyone says he's not injured. He feels okay. For a while, the first couple of starts, the rationale was, well, he didn't go on a rehab assignment in the minor leagues, so he's kind of coming back at the major league level, and it takes time. Well, now it's 4 starts in, and he just gave up 12 hits the other night in a game that they still won, but it was a career high for hits for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think getting him back to, you know, it doesn't have to be what it was in April and May and early June, but, you know, getting him back to a point where you can put him out there in a postseason game and feel a lot of that same confidence, I think that's a big, big storyline for them the last 2 weeks of the season. He's going to make, I think, 3 more starts. Between now and the postseason, and you know, I do think if he doesn't clean it up a little bit, if it doesn't get a little bit sharper, you do have to begin to ask the question: should he start Game 3, or should Christopher Sanchez be their Game 3 starter? He's pitched really, really well, shows no signs of slowing down, even though he's pitched more innings than ever before in his career. And you know, I mean, I'm sure they're talking about that internally, like getting Suarez back on track. And also figuring out where Sanchez and Suarez fit in terms of how they order their postseason rotation.
Is there a player that maybe is under the radar a bit, Scott, that is a big reason why they're winning again, but isn't a star and is subtly getting it done?
It's a good question. We're sitting here talking during a week when they've gotten big hits from the likes of Cal Stevenson and Buddy mm-hmm. Kennedy and Weston Wilson and, you know, Cody Clemens, guys who've spent the majority of the year in AAA. I don't want to underestimate that. They've won three in a row. They've won 14 out of 18 because they've gotten contributions from some of these unexpected sources at a time when Alec Bohm is out, JT Realmuto has been out. Look, Aramis Garcia, who essentially is their fourth catcher, throws out the tying run at second base last night in the ninth inning in his second start since coming up. So, you know, I kind of joked the other night on Twitter that, like, should we call them the Philadelphia Iron Pigs or the Lehigh Valley Phillies? Because you've got half the AAA roster up here, and they're really playing well. But I don't think those guys are kind of what you're going for with your question, because honestly, like, they're not. You know, Stevenson and Kennedy certainly, and probably either Wilson or Clemens, one or the other, is probably not on the postseason roster if everything, you know, if everybody comes back as they expect and everything goes according to plan. So, you know, I guess, you know, like, he's a star and he's a highly paid player, but, like, I think Nick Castellanos' consistency this year has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. You know, he's been their best or certainly most consistent hitter since the middle of June. He doesn't fall under the category of unsung, though, given his salary and his stature. So, I don't know. I just think that, I guess Sanchez, on the pitching side, like I said, is really kind of held up in a season in which he's pitched more than ever before, and really helped the rotation stay on track because Suarez hasn't been Suarez. I think Orion Kerkering has really kind of come back to pitching the way they expected he would. Jose Alvarado is starting to pitch well now, so the bullpen is kind of taking shape. I take your point, though. I think that it's been a lot of guys not named Harper and not named Turner all the time, that Trey Turner all the time, that have really helped them get back on course here.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Castellanos next, but it's interesting you mentioned that because I went to a Red Sox-Pirates game in April, and the Red Sox ran out this lineup. And I texted my son. I said, is this the Worcester? I was like, what's going on here? And the Red Sox won the game 6-1. But, like, everybody was out. So, yeah, every once in a while you got to get through with something like that. Hey, Scott, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for all the information, as always.
Of course, Steve, anytime.
Thank you. Scott Lauber, he's outstanding. Does a great job. Philadelphia Inquirer covering the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies are back to playing great baseball. And as he mentioned, look, I mean, it's not like they have all the guns firing right now. Realmuto has been banged up. Bohm's been banged up. Suarez is, you're not sure right now. But they're winning 14-4 in their last 18 games. We'll take a break. I'm back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.